dealing with an unrealistic schedule demands, right? Now, many times you might have observed, or you will observe, that whenever the sales team approaches you, because sales teams are like, you know, generally the ones who interact with the customer. Now, they come and they promise that, okay, we'll be able to bring the transformation in about 2 months. And happily, you kind of award them an order. But when that order reaches to the implementation team, you see the disconnect there, right? They might say that, okay, I think sales guy overcommitted, or maybe they did not assume this, they did not perform this step very well, they did not approach us, blah blah blah, right? So it's always important that we are mindful, we are breaking down all the tasks, we are keeping everything in factor, including holidays and everything, and we are also sending the regular updates to our clients or all the relevant stakeholders to ensure that we are meeting on the timelines, whichever is agreed between client and you. Rather than writing a long emails, try and tabularize the facts. Try and give the dates, the actual dates. Many a time you might have seen that the date is always given as 31st December, 31st March, 28th of February, always towards the end of the month, always, right? Why? It is just a comfort area which everybody wants to have. So it will be a good idea to have a very realistic dates, make it in a tabularized form, try and make it in a chart or a graphical or a pie chart or a bar chart or whatever it is, which can communicate the message very well. And finally, discuss any such discomfort which you might have. Maybe something is a really, really unrealistic timeline or a task time, say deadline, which is given as a one of the activity. Speak out aloud. Speak to the people and try to revise the estimate. To give you an example, we do have a shortage of the chipset. And because of the shortage of chipset, lot many equipment from the Cisco or from the OEMs are really getting delayed in deliveries because it's an overall problem. Now, if you really overestimate the time and if you say it will be delivered in a month, that's really not going to happen. Cisco is taking about 6 to 8 months to really deliver those large consignments. That's a genuine problem. Prioritization is something we have discussed it already. Specifically when you are dealing with the task and the deadline associated with it, just have a habit to revalidate, when you want to avoid or get rid out of the unrealistic schedule time. If it is possible and if you can club multiple equal tasks, try and do it. And see if it is really helping in terms of increasing the efficiency or decreasing the overall time. Some of the incremental processes models to deliver the critical functionality always help sometimes, right? So try using those models to work on those specific tasks. If this, then what? If this is not, then what? Right? So You need to have an alternate situation, alternate strategies to deal with such situation in case you want to avoid any such unrealistic timelines. And again, we spoke about the Gantt chart. We spoke about some of the visual representation. We spoke about PERT in our previous sessions. Try and track through those visual representation, which can help all the team members to be on the same page. Soft skill for the project manager to manage the multiple schedules and the deadline. I told you, the project manager is something who is going to run the show. And some of the skills, maybe a technical skill is fine, but what if the soft skills are not really well? Sometimes how you talk can also impact the entire project. Sometimes I have seen that the project managers being changed if they are not really a good communicator. Sometimes I have also seen that the change of project manager, if they are not able to manage the time very well. Now, those are some of the soft skills which you need to factor in mind. So let's briefly speak about the some of the soft skill, why it is required. You may have a best of the best technology experience. I have seen people failing in executing the project because not for the lack of technical skills. Maybe the person is certified, the person has worked for 20 years into that particular stream, knows in and out about everything, but again when it comes to the talking to people, managing the people, communicating on an email, communicating on a phone, arranging the meetings, I've seen that failed. First and foremost, time is money. Time management is something which is very, very important. If you are yourself not managed or well managed on the time, if you are always failing to reach to office on time, if you are always failing to catch the desired train which you want on time, then you are yourself not managed very well. So the project manager must have the adequate time management, because remember, like how time is important for the project, time is also important for overall team members as well, because they have sized their time according to them. And again, everybody in the team may not really be so efficient or so very well time managed. It is your responsibility to set the right message, to be a torch bearer, to explain that, see, this is what the timeline I manage. I expect this from you also to have effectively completion of the project. Decision making. Sometimes the project manager is either not really powerful or not very confident. Now, when I say powerful could be depending on the designation the person is carrying into an organization, and maybe the delegations of authority, whatever has been given to them. That's a power I am talking about. The second is on the strong decision making is or the confidence is. Sometimes the project managers are not really open and effective in taking the decisions or taking the risk. That is very much a critical element, because beyond a point, if the things are stuck, if there is a conflict between the team, there is a decisions to be made, and everything cannot be taken to the senior leadership. You have to take a decision on the day itself. Facilitation. Now, project manager requires the great amount of skill in facilitating the team members. Remember, facilitation is an art. People should follow. You should be in a position to influence. You might have seen some of the trainers delivering the session, and there may be an activity in a hall, right? There, and as a part of the activity, they kind of involve the multiple people or the entire audience. Why do you think that is necessary, and why do you think people are doing those activities? Because the trainer is actually facilitating them, and the trainer is kind of bringing them together. Maybe the trainer is influencing them to carry out that particular activity, right? Why do you think there are some of the leaders, they are kind of making their examples by themselves? They are doing the things first, and then they are asking the others to do the things, right? So always have that habit of the facilitation. Try and discuss the unrealistic timelines, unrealistic demands, and so on and so forth. Organization. Now, when I say organization, the project manager's ability to organize himself, herself, or the organize the paperwork, or the organize the files which he or she is dealing with, maybe organization of a right email, because whenever the senior leadership wants the status updates, the things or the data should be on the fingertip. It should be available as and when it is needed, right? So the self-organizing stuff is also very, very important. Flexibility, we have spoken about it in just a few minutes before, that the project manager should be sensible enough, should be caring enough to change the course of the project, change the timeline, be flexible about some of the priorities, be flexible about some of the meeting the deadlines or breaching the deadlines as and when it is needed. Again, if it is not impacting the overall outcome of a project, then it should be still acceptable. But if it is really affecting the overall outcome of the project, then you probably have to take the approval from the senior leadership. Again, take an example that you're traveling in a long distance train. You're traveling from one city to a different city, and probably train is taking too much of a time on every station and say having a 5 minute extra halt. But it's still the loco driver still ensures that you are reaching at your destination on time. Why it is happening? Maybe he is kind of navigating the engine and kind of he is meeting the time by running the train a little faster. You might have seen some airlines also taking a shortcut if they are really delayed. Why do you think it's happening? Because they are flexible enough to navigate the course. The ATC is flexible enough to give them that shortcut route, and so on and so forth. So be flexible. Communication is spoken at length here, so I'm not going to repeat it one more time. But communication is really, really a skillful art. Either it's a communication on phone, communication on instant messaging, communication on an email, or communication in a team or in person plays a very, very big role. Right, so these are the some of the soft skills are required. Some additional skills, maybe it will be good to have when there is a project manager who is going to deal with the multiple people around it, multiple systems around it, and multiple cultures around it. Relieve the tensions because there may be stressful times. You have to keep the environment light. Have a right negotiation because sometimes you end up negotiating very frequently within the team members. Don't try and let the people intimidate it. Be fair with everybody. It's always a good, you cannot be favorable to someone because he or she is really a good friend of yours. Have an ability to understand the situation. Be empathetic. If somebody is really sick at your team members' house, be little or express little the empathy towards him or her. Be knowledgeable. You cannot just go unprepared. Have some areas or have some knowledge about the specific project. Have a positive attitude. Be in a situation to motivate and positively motivate your team members. Focus on the big picture and avoid the lesser amount of conflicts. Now, as I mentioned in the beginning, that taking a call to shutting down the project or accepting the failure is generally requires a courage. Remember that you have put the lot much amount of an effort on something which you have taken an approval for. Something which you want to achieve, really, which is going to add a value to an organization, according to you. But sometimes you have to pull a plug at right time. And there may be some things which you have to gracefully accept that, yes, this is what the point beyond which I cannot go, and this is what the point I will shut down my project. What areas or how to really shut down the failed project? If it is a negative net present value, as we all know, what is a net present value? That if the value which I'm going to get after completion of a project is really not going to give me a required benefit, then I'll probably go ahead and shut down some of the tasks, some of the projects. If the resources are shifted, or if the resources are not available, or the project is not going to meet the required goal in the required time, probably the technology is going to be out of support by the time you're completing your project. May not make sense, right? So you might feel that, yes, you are at the fag end of the project, but maybe after 5 months, after 1 year, you'll have to reinitiate the project, and it may not be a good idea to really continue. Have a graceful closure, okay? Don't hesitate to communicate that this is the reason you are going ahead with the closure of the project. Remember, there is a learning everywhere. Okay, so even if it is a failure, I told you in my previous sessions that in the interview, I always ask, what is that something which you failed, and can you explain me why, or what could have been done better, right? So have a graceful close down on the project, communicate it very well that why it was done, and learn from those mistakes which you have made for this particular closure. People can continue with a failing project due to aversion to a failure and the hope of finding success. It is again a human issue, or the soft element which you which you are dealing with it. Why people still want to continue with the failed project? They see, accepting the failure is really a tough task. You don't want your name to be taken in a forum saying that, hey, this is the guy who had initiated a project and he or she failed, right? So sometimes people still continue, and these are some of the reasons which are listed out here, that maybe the team member takes the task personally. Maybe it's his or her personal ambition to complete or to learn the project or whatever it is. Stopping the project may be seen as it's a negative, or it's a capability issue of the person who was leading the project. This is one of the reasons the person still wants to continue with a project which is not going to see the end of the day. The person or the team involved may believe that the success is just there. We are at the fag end, I just mentioned, and they still just want to kick the ball to put it into a goal post. Minor success may lead to a belief that it's a premature to stop the project. Sometimes you also have a reluctance that, hey, I was able to achieve this particular milestone. I'm very much there because I'm very much confident that this is going to happen, but it's not happening really. Close the project. Fear of losing respect from others. I told you, you don't want to name yourself name and shame, or any of the team member didn't want themselves to get called out that, hey, this is what you did it and now you're not going to get any project. No, that's not really the case. And fear that the competitors will rejoice in the project failure, right? You always have a fear, you always have an internal competition which you want to really avoid, right? So it's always fear of losing out feeling, okay? How do you disengage from a failed project? Closing a failed project is really not easy, I told you. Taking a decision itself is really tough, because you may have to justify why you failed. How are you going to recover the money, time, whatever is spent? Okay, project is coming to an end it has not met the expectation of a stakeholders. To prevent the reassessment and the negativity of the building up, it's important that to take steps, some of the which is to mitigate the disappointment for all the concerns. How are you learning from the mistakes? So how do you really disengage from a failed project? Have a formal communication. You may be apologetic, you may be not, depending on the severity of the project. But if it is required to be apologetic, please express your apology that, yes, this is what the reason you really failed. And these are the learnings which you have gained, and you are ensuring that this is not going to happen. Be transparent. Explain the situation. And if it is really something which you can bounce back, please do so. Send a communication, send a message, which I told you already. Keep your team members still motivated. Explain them this is not the end of the world really. Explain your suppliers that this is not the last project they are going to get, or this is not the last order which they are going to get. There are something in pipeline, and we'll ensure that things will come back onto their course. Have a very candid discussion, very frank discussions within your team member. What do you think could have been done better? There are some tough decisions. In fact, people have also seen the layoffs, right? And when the people have seen the layoffs, they are much more tough decisions than failing of the project. So be candid, have a candid understanding. Take some of the critical feedback for yourself as well. You cannot always give the feedback, you have to also take the critical feedback. And it's an emotional element which you need to also balance. Sometimes some of the team members are very soft by their nature, and maybe they get hurt in case they do not get a success. They have probably put their best of the best effort, all the energies, but and they probably get disappointed when such thing happens. So have that graceful emotional discussions with them, motivate them. Take the control and specify what each disappointed party is hoping but will not receive to prevent further damage. You can explain them that it is a right call we are making it today to avoid the further damage. For example, if your car tire is punctured, you stop by the road, right? You don't continue driving your car. Why? Because if you still continue driving your car, you may end up damaging your other components of the car. So that's why you can explain to them that this is what is the right time to shut down to avoid the further damage. Exploit the positives by providing an after closure review when the lessons learned, and you can always ensure that this mistake which you have made, whatever constraints which were there for this particular failure, it will certainly not get repeated. Document everything. Document all the assumptions, document the communications which has happened formally or informally, and have that a binding document so that anybody else can also refer and can avoid such mistakes and hence avoid the project closure. Use this particular opportunity. See, as I mentioned, that every failure has some bit of a learning. See that where you can optimize the resources which you have freed up for the rest of the engagement, where you can navigate your people, where you can actually have a commercial benefit of those leftover time, leftover resources, leftover technology which you have, and try and navigate it accordingly. There are also advantages of a good closure of a field project. I told you some of it already, that you can always learn something. You can always coach your team. Maybe it's an on-job training and your team may not require further training because they are so very well trained enough during this project which you have already closed. Maybe some of the resources, some of the time which you have already allocated somewhere else, which is now going to help someone else, right? If somebody has lost the confidence, then it'll be a good idea to give them an idea or kind of give them the example of this particular project that, hey, how you actually bounce back, right? So these are the some of the or also the advantages when you actually close the project. Major product innovation are often result in learning, right? Imagine how many innovations are failing. Go to any IIT, IIMs and see that how many R&D labs are still struggling and getting failed. Look at how many PhDs are keep on failing. If they would stop experimenting, then probably you will never see the innovation. Clean project closure occurs when all the work is completed and the team members have moved on to another project. So you're formally, gracefully releasing all the resources all the time. And scheduling and tracking are crucial. So even during your project closeout, when you are formally closing either the good project or a failed project or whatever project, it's always a good idea that it is also scheduled, it is also timed, it is also planned very well. In summary, the project scheduling is very important, as we discussed. It's also giving you an experience when you are failing the project. It's also very important that how you are releasing the resources, how you are managing your team in the event of failure of such projects, and how planning and scheduling actually helps you or the organization or the project manager to deal with the situation and to have a successful project always. Remember, failure of the project is not always appreciated. It is not the end objective anybody wants, but right acceptance is also a key, and that is also an overall objective of your good project management. Thank you so much.